What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Woo! Put them together.
You better put them hands together.
It is a Monday. It is a beautiful day. Hope you had a great weekend. 4 days of feasting and football and fun, hopefully, for you.
Absolutely.
How was the high school game Friday? You had the high school football playoffs on Friday?
Down at the Rock Pile down in San Antonio.
Rock Pile in S.A. Town?
Town? Yeah. Played the team from Laredo.
Congrats.
They had a 400-pound offensive lineman. He was a monster.
Gone.
He was big, and he could move around. And I just said, it's going to be – some people are going to be sore from that guy just falling on top of him on the pile. I'm serious. A 400,
no,
some 400 and change, a guy falling on you when you're already down on the ground, and here he comes banging his shoulder pads into you, Zay. I said, just from the falling alone, this guy on top of you, you're going to be sore the next day.
Okay,
but they move on. They had a fantastic game.
Lake Travis will play San Antonio Brennan now, who knocked out Bowie.
Yeah, because I was looking forward to playing them dogs again.
Yeah, that would have been Lake Travis Bowie in the playoffs, but Brennan got the victory there. Well,
we're playing down in Pound Town.
Dripping Springs?
Yeah.
Nice.
Back to the high school.
LBJ advances. Congrats to the Jags. Westlake's going to play Vandergriff now in the state playoffs in round four, so a local battle. In the fourth round, you've got you also have Liberty Hill. Liberty Hill advancing. So congrats to those schools and all the high school
and congratulations to all the seniors on that football team that went out
for the Longhorns
with a
yes.
win. Hell yeah.
Heck yeah. So we'll talk more Texas football. I have an idea for Steve Sarkisian, which we'll mention here coming up. Also back to this whirling, swirling coaching carousel that now includes Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. We'll get to the details of that. The NFL after 12 weeks as well. Well, one more game tonight. Who wants to watch Seattle play Washington tonight? After all the good football we got.
Zay wants to see Heineken play.
I'll probably be catching up on like one of my shows or something tonight.
This would be the night, wouldn't
this,
it?
I don't need to
watch the Beatles documentary?
Yes, I might stream the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus. That may happen. It's a great idea, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully you had a great weekend. But real quick, from the NFL, Cowboys have lost 3 out of 4. They've got a COVID issue now, the Cowboys do. Their offensive line coach, they're going virtual in at the Star Complex this week now because of Joe Philbin testing positive. Terrence Steele, the offensive lineman's also in the protocol. And the Cowboys, remember, play Thursday. You know, you think you play Thursday, you'll get extra time off. They're playing Thursday night to open up Week 13 in New Orleans against the Saints, trying to break this little scuffle that they're in. But on the NFL front, watching the games yesterday, New England is indeed the best team in the AFC. New England is the best team in the AFC.
Yes.
Right now. They've won 6 straight.
I don't want to be around that defense, yes.
Their defense is back to being a Bill Belichick defense. Mac Jones, he didn't even play great yesterday, and he still scored 36
right.
points. This kid, Ramondre Stevenson, the running back's breaking out. Kendrick Bourne, the receiver, had a big game. And I know it was Ryan Tannehill and the Titans without Derrick Henry, but, man.
And Brown didn't play either, did he?
No, A.J. Brown's out for a few weeks. That's bad.
And yeah, that's bad news for them. And that's bad for them.
And you can't have Ryan Tannehill carrying a football team,
no.
especially against a Bill Belichick team. That ain't going to work. But that's 6 straight wins now. And remember, the Patriots had the near misses with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. As Mac Jones was kind of getting his feet wet as a quarterback.
Will they get one of 2 of the Bills, or will they get both of them, you think?
At least Buffalo was back to looking like Buffalo on Thursday night when they beat down the Saints. That's who the Cowboys play
next. I'm so mad
Saints
at the Texans losing to the Jets. Seriously, guys?
The Jets?
The Jets?
Well,
really?
Wagering on the Texans, that's not a smart move. But I'll say this. So the Patriots, you know, are the best team in the AFC. I know the Chiefs would argue,
mm-hmm.
maybe the Ravens, but they... Who would you pick right now in a playoff game, Kansas City against New England? I think I'd probably pick New England, the way the Chiefs are still scuffling with their offense.
And throwing the ball
all over
the place.
And turnover prone. I'd take New England. We'll see. Buffalo's in that mix. But right now the best team is New England. And what Tampa Bay did yesterday was a message to the league. The Buccaneers went into Indianapolis and beat the Colts, and Colts were playing as good as anybody right now. They forced 5 turnovers. Shaq Barrett had a big strip sack fumble. Carson Wentz became the turnover machine. We know he is. And here's what the Buccaneers did yesterday. They got back to running the football. They came into that game 29th in the league in rushing. Well, you can't win. You got to get back to running the ball. Leonard Fournette scored four touchdowns in the game yesterday against a good Colts defense. That was impressive. Point of that is, could we get a Tampa Bay New England Super Bowl? Is that possible?
Oh, I think Green Bay will have something to say about that.
Green Bay's in the mix. They beat the Rams yesterday in a heavyweight match.
And my guy from Boston College, yeah.
And Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals, my friend.
Oof.
Because I mentioned Jeff Rogers, the assistant head coach there. Somebody said, hey, speaking of Randy Rogers, he closed down the
singer.
The Nutty Brown Cafe last
night. Yeah, that's done
was
with
that
now.
Saturday
that
night?
That was the last concert.
The final show.
Right.
But that's not the Randy Rogers we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about Randy Rogers, your former colleague and coach at Texas.
Yeah, we're talking about Randy Rogers, the band, the group there.
There's a band, Randy Rogers.
Yes, and they're done. I love Randy Rogers, the band. I love both of those Rogers.
Randy's a good dude.
He is a good dude.
Then Randy Rogers, the coach, was your recruiting coordinator when you were coaching at Texas with John McAvich.
Mm-hmm.
His son, Jeff, coaches on the Arizona Cardinals. He is the assistant head coach. And a lot of people think is in line for a head coaching job the way he's helped Cliff Kingsbury navigate the world of the NFL and have a smooth transition. Again,
yeah, Cliff wants to come back to college.
You know, it's interesting that Adam Schefter had that tweet, because I had a text from an agent buddy of mine way back during the season. Hey, that pretty much alluded to that Cliff would love to get back into college, even though he's doing well in the pros.
Likes to be on the campuses, does he?
You know, I don't know. I mean, clearly, every coach is going to make life decisions that's best for their quality of life. Lincoln Riley just made one. Riley said, hey, I don't want any part of the SEC.
No, I don't want any part. I've been in Norman, Oklahoma long enough. I'm out of here. I'm a young guy.
I'm 38.
Yes.
I get to go to USC, and, you know, I already have the brand name. Every kid in America wants to come play offense for me. And all the best players that are in California are not staying in California.
And by the way, I'm not a neighbor at Nutty Brown any longer.
Oh, you've moved.
I live deep in the drip. I think Nutty Brown still has an Austin address, so I don't live.
You've moved from your home that used to be right behind the Nutty Brown Cafe.
Yes, I would hear every concert.
No,
I didn't get a chance to hear the last one. Sorry.
Now you live out in the woods.
Out in the woods, yes, out by the breweries.
That's a good thing. That's right. But so that's let's clarify. Jeff Rogers is the assistant head coach there, and there's another Rogers coaching with the Bears too. You know, Johnny's the one that does the show with our buddy Casey Studdard on Saturday.
By the way,
morning.
Thank you, Casey, for those tasty greens I had.
Did Casey deliver from
Oh, he delivered on
Wednesday. Nice.
Yes, he did. As my wife says, we still got enough collard greens in there, and that's fine with me because I'll tear them up.
Ooh,
I was tearing them up the next day.
Mm-hmm. Love this. Hey, let's get to your headlines, trending topics. There are plenty of them. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And, yeah, college football, just wow, what a weekend. Scintillating Saturday of rivalry games, and then, of course, the coaching bombshell yesterday. Longhorns did finish their regular season with a win on Friday, held off Kansas State 22-17, and that six-game losing streak. We'll discuss that and hear from Steve Sarkisian here coming up. But bombshell, of course, came yesterday from Norman with word that USC has lured Oklahoma football coach Lincoln Riley to Southern California to replace Clay Helton. 38-year-old has led the Sooners to a 55-10 mark and four Big 12 championships since taking over that program from Bob Stoops in 2017. Press conference set for today out in Los Angeles to make it official. By the way, speaking of Bob Stoops, he has agreed to be the interim coach while the Sooners look for a permanent head coach, and of course they get ready for a bowl game. Rivalry Saturday, back on Saturday, what a great day it was. Started with Michigan smacking down Ohio State at the Big House. The Wolverines are now 11-1. They vaulted up to number 2 in this week's AP Top 25. Undefeated Cincinnati comes in at 3. One spot ahead of now 4th-ranked Alabama, who dropped again after their miracle triple overtime win in the Iron Bowl on Saturday over Auburn. Had to come from 10-0 down in the fourth quarter to win that in triple OT. Oklahoma State, by the way, up to 5. They rallied to beat Oklahoma in the Bedlam game, 37-33. Championship Saturday now set coming up this weekend. Oak State's going to face Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. Top-ranked Georgia will face Bama in the SEC. Michigan and Iowa in the Big 10. Pitt and Wake Forest in the ACC. AAC has Cincinnati and Houston in a good one. And out west, Utah will face Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. NFL yesterday, Top games included, well, not top game, but a dreadful performance by the Texans. They lose at home to the New York Jets, 21-14. Buccaneers, impressive. They beat the Colts in Indy, 38-31. How about New England? They won six straight, took down Tennessee, 36-13. In Cincinnati, upstart Bengals smacked Pittsburgh around 41-10. They improved to 7-4. They're just a game back of first-place Baltimore in the AFC North. Ravens beat Cleveland last night in primetime, 16-10. And in Green Bay yesterday, the Packers improved to 9-3 with a win over the LA Rams, 36-28. As for the Cowboys, they've lost 3 out of 4 now, beaten on Thanksgiving Day by the Vegas Raiders, 36-33. All three losses have come to teams from the AFC West, as they got beat by the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs in this slide. They're now 7-4. They still own a comfortable lead in the NFC East. Philadelphia is in second place, and they're sitting at 5-7 after losing to the Giants yesterday.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. The holidays are coming, so don't be a ho-ho-ho. Shop local at Top Gun for all your lawn equipment, equipment rental, and equipment repair needs. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
Also, we got basketball tonight at Gregory Gym, correct?
Yes.
Is this today, the party for the students tonight?
Today
too?
Is the party at the Tower.
Nice.
If you're a student at UT, obviously you've probably gotten the invite, but Chris Beard was on the show last week and reminded us that, Monday. Now, this is a game where, if you're a fan of season ticket holder, you're not going to the game, right? Gregory Gym only holds like 2,000 or so people.
It's students' night out.
Students' game. It's Sam Houston State. The game counts. I mean, this counts in the standings, but this is a really smart move by Chris Beard to get the fans engaged and the students engaged. So he promised the student body when he was working with the students during the preseason, trying to get them out to games, that if you sell out and fill up the student section, we'll have a party. For the first game, we'll have a party for you. And they've not only done it for the first game, they've done it for all the games so far, up until this game this past week. But so they've over 1,000 students showing up, filling up the student section. So the party is today. I think it's at 4:30. They're going to have live music and pizza and food at the Tower. Chris Beard will be there. And then, as Chris told us, coaches, they're going to walk the team, and Chris Beard and the students are going to walk to Gregory Gym, and they're going to play a basketball game. So that's pretty cool, and I believe it's on LHN, and you'll hear it right awesome. Here on the horn tonight. You'll hear it on the horn, so that's a good thing, too. So busy weekend, getting you into your Monday. Horns basketball tonight and Monday night football. But, Buck, here's my idea for Steve Sarkisian. Now, he needs a quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's the number one priority. I know some would say offense and defensive line. You can't win without that quarterback, that consistent quarterback. It's just not happening. You can go and get into the offense that he ran right here, but you can't win on a consistent basis without the guy at quarterback. That's just the way the game goes.
Agreed. Well, Michigan and Georgia might argue with you, but because neither of them have a star quarterback, but they're going to be 1-2 when the rankings come out. But I know mm-hmm. your point. They have to find the leader of the team.
Right.
And that's the one thing about the kid at Michigan, McNamara. He's the leader of the team.
Right.
I mean, I saw him against Ohio State when the dog cussing his mates in the huddle. Like, mm-hmm. come on, guys. I mean, let's keep this thing going. I mean, he's got some real leadership intangibles that Jim Harbaugh loves. But point being, here's my idea for Sark. As part of this coaching carousel that is spinning out of control, you see what happened yesterday at Duke? Duke has agreed to part ways with David Cutcliffe.
Yes.
David Cutcliffe is extremely close with the Manning family. Of course, coached Eli at Ole Miss. If you're Steve Sarkisian and you're looking to improve your coaching staff, could you do worse than getting to David Cutcliffe and saying, hey, name your number, we're bringing you in as an analyst of some kind, or behind the scenes helping us on our offense?
Well, yeah. I mean, if he hasn't done that, if he's not done camping over there at Westlake High for that quarterback and his family.
Okay, Klubnik.
Yeah. If he hadn't picked up his bags and his role and everything else to get going.
I say that as an idea for David Cutcliffe, not knowing if David Cutcliffe even wants to coach at this point.
He may be done.
But he may be. But that guy is a quarterback whisperer, and he's a Manning fan. The Mannings are fans of him. There's a kid named Arch Manning who's going to be the number one recruit for the class of 2023.
Well, I'll tell
just
you,
saying.
There's a lot of things that will disappoint people about this football season with the Texas Longhorns. One was the fact that this defense – When Sark started to say, we got guys out of there, I'm like, it took you all the way into K-State the last game of the year to figure out that you needed to get certain guys out of the game in order to get some heart and soul into that football team. I mean, really, coach? That's kind of surprising to hear that.
Yeah, there were times in the Kansas game where you didn't see a lot of heart and soul and fight in the first half of that game.
There's times
in
the West Virginia game and other games before that when you were like, no, and those same guys still roll back in there play after play.
And it did change on Friday. That's
the thing you found out about this football team. It took you that many games to figure out. I need to actually change this guy out of here, where when he makes a mistake, he doesn't get to go back in the game.
Well, I know B.J. Foster, the senior safety on senior day, didn't play again after that long 75-yard run in which it came right at him, and he gave very little effort to make a tackle, and the quarterback outran everybody to the end zone. He was the last line of defense. He mentioned that a couple of guys didn't. I don't know who the other player who didn't play again after it. I wasn't able
to. I know he was talking about some of these defensive linemen did get out on the quick screen.
But, you know, the thing that changed in the second half was the defensive line. The defensive line played great. K-State felt like they could come back in and run the ball with Deuce Vaughn. I mean, they got stopped on fourth down twice on big, crucial fourth downs. And it was all about defensive effort, defensive penetration. And that's, why did it take 12 games? And this is a season that ends with more questions than answers. There's
absolutely
no doubt about that. We read from the Tope Amade statement or post that he put out there about this is the coach, this is the staff, I played for three different head coaches, this is the one, you know, which I know that's what Texas fans want to hear, but you got to see it. And, well, now, you know, you've just been done a friendly by USC because your arch rival just lost their head coach. And now Oklahoma's in a lurch. They're losing recruits by the minute, it appears. And Lincoln, now you got to find the replacement. And Lincoln Riley is the white whale of this coaching search. Everybody's wanted Lincoln Riley in the NFL for the last several offseason cycles. And he, you know, has held firm. He's not going anywhere. I mean, think about Florida. They just fired Dan Mullen. They're going to hire Billy Napier. Now, that might be a good hire, right? That might be. And I like Billy Napier and what he's done with the Raging Cajuns, but there's no guarantee there, right? Going into the SEC with Billy Napier, who is another one of those Nick Saban disciples.
That's a huge jump from where he is.
Yes. Well,
he's had success.
So USC
wins
the carousel.
Yes.
They landed the big fish. And you wonder, did it come at the expense of LSU, who thought, there are a lot of people who thought that's where he was headed. But in the end, if you're Texas, your rival's now having to find a new head coach.
Right.
Whoever they hire.
And they got recruits falling out left and right
now. That's
right.
And you have to take advantage of that. You've got to jump in. And I know you're selling 5-7, but you've got to sell the vision. And your own recruiting class has taken some hits here.
You are now. You are now, or should be, more than anything. There is no doubt in my mind that you are the big dog in the Big 12 right now. OU will have some growing pains with Lincoln Riley leaving. He just is.
We'll see what they land with. But yes, I mean, the word is Lincoln Riley's taking Alex Grinch with him, the defensive coordinator. So those are the two best coaches on that staff. I would imagine Lincoln's going to want to take his, you know, much ballyhooed offensive line coach with him, who's done such a great job at Oklahoma developing offensive linemen.
Yes.
And Lincoln's, you know, he's going west, young man, the gold rush. He's going to see, you know, you want to talk about Oklahoma into the SEC, you're just one of the power programs. You can be the power program in the West Coast.
Absolutely.
Not just the Pac-12. At USC.
And so I mean, for Texas, as long as you need, and in the Big 12, you need to be the power team in the Big 12 now that they've lost their coach and a huge part of the success of their program. He's gone. You're talking about like losing a quarterback, to somebody, or losing a great running back. This is it. You've lost Lincoln Riley. This is where Sark has to, and people have to expect him to jump at every bit of these recruits.
Yeah, and we heard Sark earlier say, "What's going to change the culture?" He said, "Personnel. we need more players that play like the guys that we do have that are in."
And that's why they don't need five more practices. You don't need five or six more practices to find out what you got.
I mean, the reps.
You should know what you have right now.
I mean, I don't think
these
you ever want to pass
help
up
anybody.
Reps.
Yeah, well,
but at the same time, can this time be spent better on?
Yes, for sure.
Hitting the recruiting trail and
absolutely
really selling what you've got to sell. And that's where it needs to be for Texas. As for Oklahoma, where do they land? How do they respond? USC is the big winner in this whole thing. And as we said, this carousel, it includes Oklahoma now open. Lincoln Riley's to USC, so that closes. USC was the first off, right? They fired Clay Helton way back in September.
Yeah, and I do ask the question. I'm saying the word that now, without Oklahoma, I mean, the two teams that are leaving to go to the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma, yeah, they are the big dog, but when it comes to the Big 12, I still believe Texas should be the big dog of the Big 12 now.
They should. They got to go do it.
Is Mike Gundy going, wait a minute, what about us? We're not quite done. We just started here now.
Well, you know, that's
he's got to believe that.
Well, here's what I take from the weekend that Texas can borrow from, right? If I'm going to take Tope Amade at his word that he believes this is the right staff and Kyle Flood's tremendous at offensive line, you know, Michigan stuck with Jim Harbaugh. Oklahoma State has stuck with Mike Gundy through all of it, right? I mean, there's been a lot of turmoil with Oklahoma State. And before T. Boone Pickens passed away, there were a lot of acrimony there and that he wanted a bigger name.
Right.
Well, they stuck and stayed, right? I mean, that's at some point you got to stick with a coach and build and go through the growing pains it's going to take. You can't just snap your fingers. And, you know, it was Jim Harbaugh had the funny line, you know, he's, because we know going into the Ohio State-Michigan game, Ryan Day had talked about hanging 100 on Michigan. And
right.
Well, after they beat the daylights out of Ohio State on Saturday.
And it was cool seeing him hug Howard. It was kind of cool. The two guys that are Michigan alums, Howard. The basketball coach and, right?
Juwan Howard. Yeah, well, that was a huge day for the Big Blue. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, his kid from Northeast Ohio. That was impressive. But my point on Harbaugh is he was asked about, you know, the Ryan Day comments about half a hundred.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, people who were, you know, pretty much born on third base, no need to be popping off, essentially. That, you know, you inherited that program that was built by Urban Meyer. And, you know, sometimes you got to build a program. And, you know, we've had to build this program, essentially what he was saying, in the likeness that we want it to be. And now, you know, they're likely going to play in the national championship
coming up. And believe
me,
you don't think their recruiting is going to pop up.
Well, and he's done it with his kind of players. And you just said you got to have a quarterback. Well, he's got a serviceable quarterback.
But what he does is he has physicality.
His offensive line is dominating. And his
defensive line is physical,
and
too.
And having watched all the Michigan-Michigan State game, Michigan was the better team in that game for three quarters by far. They were up 16 points in that game. Michigan is a bad fourth quarter from being undefeated. And right there with Georgia, as we talk about power teams in the country, Cincinnati's undefeated as well. But, you know, that's impressive for Jim Harbaugh. Mike Gundy, you know, you got to pick a coach and stick with it and be behind your coach. I know it hadn't been easy for the Michigan administration to stick, but, you know, if you believe in the coach, you believe this is the guy to get it turned, you know, it doesn't just happen because you want it to. You got to stick with it and put the investment behind it. And Michigan, finally, for them, it paid off. And for Oklahoma State, they were finally able to get up over the Oklahoma hump and beat the Sooners and put themselves into the Big 12 title.
Yeah, and Tope's statement, that's big to hear from a senior who's been around who's got a couple of degrees from the University of Texas and really didn't have to say anything, but I've given enough to football. I don't have to say another word.
Well, and he's seen a lot of different coaches come and go, right?
Yes.
So he has a firsthand account of, okay, I've played for this coach, I played for this coach. This is the coach, and certainly this is the offensive line coach. He went out of his way to say that. But in his statement, which you can read at my Twitter account, at Aaron Hogan, I posted it on Saturday when it came out, he said, the fans need help. The fans need to be supportive. The fans can't be negative about this. It was a bad year, but just trust me that this is the right staff. These are the right guys. You have some young guys that are coming, but this is the staff to get right. The fans need to support it and stick behind it. And
how did they
get negative.
Support it on Friday?
Not much of a crowd.
70?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Say 70,
well,
maybe?
Well, remember, this 60? Is Thanksgiving. This has always been a problem for Texas since they stopped playing
sure
A&M. The students go
quit
home.
Quit playing at 11 a.m.
Well, and the students go home
that would
for
help
Thanksgiving
you.
Because there's, you know, I'm not going to stay for the Kansas State game in a 5-7 season. So they go home with their families. So the student section is not what it normally is, which has been great all year. And, yeah, the fans kind of bail. But that's Tope's message is, you know, stick with this thing. Stick behind it. But you know, that's tough to do when you're 5-7 and, you know, lost six straight games. But at the same time, the only way to get it fixed is to stick with someone you believe is the right coach.
Yeah, and not having your coach have to say that I finally got guys who will play with some heart in the last game of the season, in the second half of a game. That needs to be found out during your losing streak and get those guys out of the game.
Agreed, and got to root them out. And Longhorns are in that process now with no bowl game. And it is amazing how there was still a calculus way that Texas could have played in a bowl game at 5-7 when they won. But everybody they needed to lose and not get
mean
the six
green.
Wins. Yeah, including the Mean Green of North Texas, who up and beat UTSA.
They didn't just beat them. They
beat them bad. Well, Jeff Traylor sat his quarterback in that game and some of his better players because they're already playing in the championship game. But either way, there were some shocking upsets on Saturday that kept Texas from even having an opportunity to play in a bowl. So there's some thoughts. Get your thoughts on Lincoln Riley, where Oklahoma goes from there.
I agree with you about the Iron Bowl. That was madness for them not to have a quarterback.
Let's get into Brian Harsin. I don't know how. Auburn had Alabama beat, and Brian Harsin let him off the hook. Let him off the hook! Meanwhile, Oklahoma State is in. We'll kind of set up your Final Four. Also, the NFL coming out of the weekend. We'll set the table there. Cowboys in a skid now after the 7-1 start. All things were kicking around on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Craig Way has his Craig Way report. We've got salacious gossip. And, oh, yes, we have your blitz before the end of this hour. We'll get to that. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
What a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. We're recapping, a wild 4 days. Started with the Cowboys losing to Vegas way back on Thursday. All the Friday festivities, including the Longhorns getting a win, improving to 5-7, ending that losing streak. Saturday was mayhem in college football with rivalry
good
Saturday.
Stuff.
Yesterday was pretty good in the NFL as well, but man, nothing will match what we saw Saturday. Also, Lincoln Riley is out. He's headed to USC. And, of course, the Sooner fans are handling it very well.
Of course.
As you can imagine.
Of course they're not.
There's like signs with
the
traitor.
By the way, these are not your family. These are not your family. This is not family or friends for our Longhorn fans. Because your buddy that you're leaving to go to the SEC with loses their coach. That's good for them. Goodbye.
Well, clearly he wanted no part of the Southeastern
Absolutely.
Conference.
They aren't your
calculated
friends.
Calculated move. But Joe Castiglione, the AD, has responded, you know, saying this is a premier job. We'll be fine, essentially. We thank Lincoln Riley for it's pretty clear Joe knew something was up for a while because Lincoln's agent's been working this thing. You go back to the bye week for Oklahoma ahead of the Baylor game that they lost. Their one loss this year, well, now two because they lost Saturday. But their one loss before this weekend, you know, remember he took a couple days off? Like he wasn't available for his Monday press conference and he was away from the team and there was no, you know, who knows what that was. But, you know, there's now those, there were those in real time that said he was out flirting with other jobs. And then maybe it was a trip to California to meet with the folks at USC. But he played this thing where everyone thought it was LSU, which it wasn't. So at his post-game news conference after losing the Bedlam game, he said point blank, I will not be the new head coach at LSU. End of next question. I will not be the next coach at LSU, which he was right.
Absolutely.
And no one asked the right question. No one asked, well,
will you be the, still the coach
will you
at
still be the coach at Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Which, you know, give him credit for answering honestly, truthfully, but, you know, getting the victory over the media in that spot. But he's out, so now Oklahoma needs a coach. According to Adam Schefter, they're eyeing Cliff Kingsbury, but I don't know if Cliff's going anywhere. But we'll see. We'll follow that story. Longhorns. As you said, Buck, what did it take to the 12th week to find that heart and that toughness, that competitiveness that showed up in the second half in pitching a shutout against K-State and really...
Especially if you tell me we replaced guys that didn't get that done.
Yeah, B.J. Foster and DeSean Jamison essentially over
the
didn't play.
Over the losing streak, you should have been replacing a bunch of guys then.
Yeah, and in that game, it worked. They played inspired football in the second half. It took a while to get there, which is... You know, that performance against Kansas State on Saturday in the second half was what... I think most of us expected when they played Kansas here. I mean, because you had been embarrassed.
Or West Virginia and Morgantown trying to get to a bowl game.
I mean, since it's puzzling. So just because, you know, Tope Amade had his nice statement about Sark as the guy,
right.
You know, clearly he should have found more ways to use Roschon Johnson this year because he is one of his best players.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately for Sark, three of his best players are on one position, right? His running back room is really good. You know, Roschon's really good, but Bijan's one of the best in the country. And Keelan Robinson, when given his opportunity against West Virginia, showed you he's a pretty special player.
Well, I believe this. If the coach doesn't find out who his quarterback is going to be, recruit hard on the offense, defensive line, and still you still need some talented guys at wide receiver to go along with that great one that you have who's going to be a sophomore.
Yeah, you found your go-to receiver.
Yes.
And Jordan Whittington will be back
right.
as a player for you, so you can build around that.
Knock on wood.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's, you know, if Tope Amade is right and Kyle Flood is the best developer
yes.
in America, which he believes, having played for four different offensive line coaches while he was at Texas, and says this guy Kyle Flood is a different kind.
No, and while I thought this was going to be an 8-4 team on the bad side, it is not. So I'm definitely wrong in that point, but I know this, they should have been better than 5-7.
No, there's no way, no doubt. And that's
and I don't believe you go and the way you go about it is by firing the head coach immediately.
No, you back your head coach, but you make sure the changes are being made. Why did you misevaluate the talent in
right.
this way? How did?
Oh
you?
Yeah, there are a lot of questions I still think that need to be answered.
Yeah, week to week, but but you're right. You know, you want to be optimistic, which
sure.
fans like to be. You have a great running back room. Bijan Robinson has already said I'll be back. You've got a really a developing wide receiver room that needs depth, but you've got. You know, the kid Xavier Worthy, and you've got Jordan Whittington.
Build around that room for sure.
And they like their young tight ends, which we haven't seen much of, but Gunnar Helm and Juan Davis, obviously Jatavion Sanders,
and
the five-star
kid. And I saw Wiley catch a screen, actually, in the game,
Jordan,
I believe.
Actually caught some passes.
Actually caught a couple passes.
But obviously
passes.
You have to go fix the offensive line. You have to develop the players who are on campus to a much higher level, and you've got to attack the transfer portal at that position. And you've got, as Sark said, what's the biggest thing for next year? Pass rush. We've got to get find an ability to rush the passer and create conflict for the quarterback. We were unable to do that this year. It cost us.
And getting the right guys in the game in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, figure out who your best players are. So
right.
That process begins now. And, you know, is there an opportunity with Oklahoma and that situation? Because, look, I mean, when you look at this carousel, LSU still doesn't have a coach. I wonder if LSU was stunned as anybody yesterday about the decision that they thought they were getting Lincoln Riley. And now they have to. You know, Scott Woodward, does
David Aranda start popping up in there? Or
now, Dave Aranda and Baylor have made a commitment to one another. There's already been, hey, we're good. We're going to get you a pay raise. We want you to be here. He said, I want to be here. Same with Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Sonny Dykes is going to TCU. He's going to take that gig.
Somebody's going to want LSU.
Right. Well, that's where you wonder. Scott Woodward was telling everybody he was going to get this splash higher. That's why everybody connected it to Lincoln. If it wasn't Lincoln and he didn't get spurned, who is it?
You had to have a second guy already lined up.
Or maybe Lincoln wasn't even the first guy. It's somebody else. And that's what we're waiting to hear. I don't know what that is. Is it Lane Kiffin?
It can't be Jimbo Fisher after what your team did to Jimbo Fisher's team on the weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. That will be the next shoe to drop is LSU. Florida, of course, as we said, is going to hire Billy Napier away from Louisiana. TCU's made their call. Texas Tech has Joey McGuire. So those that are starting to get filled. But now Oklahoma is the biggest vacancy out there outside of LSU. That needs fill. But, Buck, you mentioned the Iron Bowl as part of Saturday, right? Michigan,
yes.
Ohio State. The Bedlam game was crazy. Offensive shootout in the first half, 24-all, turns into a defensive slugfest with both teams muffing punts in the second half, which were huge for both sides. Did you see more punt returners struggling? I mean, the Ohio
I've
State
never seen so many guys drop punts and
field punts when they shouldn't.
And why are they touching that ball or bringing kicks out? Hey, take it at the 25. It's like watching some of the high school games I watch.
You used to coach this, right?
Yes.
And you used to return punts.
Yes.
Is it not the rule to put your feet on the 10-yard line, your heels on the 10, and if you back up, let it go?
It's now one step back. You know, like if you have to drop step from the 10-yard
right,
line.
Let's put you on the 9.
Okay, like you said, okay, let's just put you on the 9 and do not tap any steps back.
Unbelievable what we keep watching.
They don't look the ball in. They let guys that are come around them get them all.
Well, Ohio State had a kid on the kickoff team that didn't know the rules of the kickoff. Like, remember after Ohio State started with a drive on the 4-yard line?
Right. Would he take a knee there?
Well, no, because he fair caught it and then didn't catch it. So then when he caught it, that's where they got the ball.
Yeah, good job.
I mean, silly stuff, but either way.
Well, you see in high school every week, even during the playoffs now, kids bringing the ball out 3 yards deep. Dude, take that ball at the. I don't care if it hits
you
at the 5.
The 25.
They're giving you at the 25. Take that.
Yeah.
It's not the time to be the hero.
So Bedlam was crazy. And the Iron Bowl, I don't even know what to say about Brian Harsin. He had that. His team against what I think is a pretty average Alabama football team. Been saying it for a while now. They're not that good. But they were number 2 in the country for most of the season. Their offensive line doesn't block, they don't have a run game. So they couldn't run the ball. I mean, Alabama's getting shut out into the fourth quarter, not moving the ball. Buck, Auburn is winning based on one drive, one touchdown. They're up 10-0, but their quarterback, this kid, the tall lanky kid, he's hurt. Right, he twists his ankle on a play. Clearly,
no, he's real hurt.
Hey, they're certain there's injured. He's injured. He can't move. He can't protect himself. He can't run. Heck, he could barely move.
This is how I felt about. The running back, Texas running back, during the Iowa State game, he can't protect himself.
I never saw Bijan Robinson look like that. Like he couldn't. He was that injured.
Well, dude, all this guy had to do is hand the ball off or take a couple steps to the left and right.
He
couldn't do it.
There were a couple tries where he couldn't even hand off because he had to toss sweep it because he couldn't get to the pit.
The one
that
hit the short side was just bizarre to me.
So you're watching the game, and I guess I get it. Look, even in overtime, he was able to stand deep in the pocket and shotgun and make some throws, which they needed. But when they were holding the lead and trying to run the clock out, I mean, Brian Harsin, you have to have a quarterback. You got to have a Roschon Johnson on your team, right? Go put Tank Bigsby in the Wildcat and put another running back in the
game. There you go.
Do something you can't let Alabama play 10-on-11 here. They clearly can see the kid can't move. And you also know when you're trying to run the clock out, they're not going to throw, right? There's no chance of them throwing. So what do you think Alabama knows you're going to do? Made no sense to me for Brian Harsin not to have somebody ready, emergency quarterback, just for that situation. And, of course, then, yes, Tank Bigsby runs out of bounds, which saves Alabama 40 seconds, which is the 40 seconds that came back to haunt them to get into overtime on the 9.
He let them run him out of bounds.
Yes.
But he should have been told as soon as he got to the tackle area, take a squat.
But even that, right? He broke the run, right? Even them knowing he was they were going to run. He broke it for 9 yards.
And they ran about five short sides toss sweeps.
Well, so this is you talk about this all the time with coaches. Call a timeout. Gather your it's third and one. You need 1 yard to end the game because at that point you're not going to have to punt. And yet you still have the big quarterback in there who can't move. So they know it's a dive play of some kind. They know it's they can see that you can't do any kind of counteraction. The kid's not going to be able to.
No.
He's either going to toss it or the kid's going to do a direct handoff. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't get the ball. Obviously, the 40 seconds came back to kill them. They executed the punt and put him back at the 3 yard line. But man, Harsin, you got to be kicking yourself on that. You just how do you not have somebody who can go in and play quarterback for you?
I know.
Somebody.
And I love the little quarterback from Alabama.
Maybe they're redshirting, but the kid that played at North Shore, the Demetrius Davis kid?
Yes.
He's at Auburn.
Okay.
Didn't he commit to Auburn? Like, I'm not an Auburn fan, so I don't follow it closely.
Hey, get him in there.
You don't have anybody on your sidelines that can go in and be a threat in the biggest game of your coaching life to finish the deal.
I don't mind running counters and things like that into the short side, but toss sweeps, I have never been a big fan of that, even with John Magovic. When we'd call it with Ricky or Priest Holmes, I'm just not a big fan of that short side.
Were you a fan of, now that we've seen it, because we talked to our friend Jake Spavital, the coach at Texas State. Texas State was the first team in college football to go into this new overtime thing where you had to go two-point conversions after the first two overtimes. So we went four overtimes, the Iron Bowl. Are you a fan of that when it gets to two-point conversions?
No.
Me either.
No, thanks.
That all stems from the LSU-A&M 7 overtime game where they're playing 100 and some odd plays and wearing people out.
Let
and
them
injury.
Play.
2-point conversions, though.
Yeah.
There you go. You knew once Alabama got it to overtime, they were winning.
Yes.
That was clear, right? The once they got it to overtime.
And that's what they were playing for.
For sure. Which is, golly, Brian Harsin, you had a chance and let them off the hook. But now Alabama lives to play another day. They'll play Georgia.
You think they'll get smoked, huh?
People talk about the SEC getting two teams.
They're not getting two teams.
Kirby Smart is coming to whip Alabama.
Yes, he is.
His team's going to watch that film with that O-line and those lines of scrimmage and say, okay.
Here we come. Yes, we're coming
downhill.
We've
been building to this.
And they got secondary guys that can flat out play, and linebackers that can run.
Again, the number on Georgia is 12 games, they've given up 83 points. 83 all season long. 83 points. That's 6.9 per game. They pitched 3 shutouts.
I got to hear from Sark again on playing the right guys.
We'll get to that.
This is what we did.
We'll hear from Sark coming up in our next hour, talking about the future at Texas, ending the losing streak. Can they build on that? We'll get to it. Plus, hey, next it's you. It's your time to shine. It's the Blitz. It's only as good as you make it. Little gossip ahead of it. First, Craigway.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just your gossip. You got to have it. It's brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. So many opportunities to tip them back and enjoy the cold, frosty Bud Light, the number one selling light beer in the world. Certainly watching the rivalry Saturday all day. I will confirm I watched football from 11 in the morning until 11 at night. And I had a couple of Bud Lights in there, too. Don't mind telling you. It was a great day.
There you go.
Great day. And you know what we did yesterday at the house, Buck? First time. Christmas went up.
Lit the tree, the whole works?
The whole bit. Wife's hosting a work engagement later in the week, so.
Did you do anything on the roof? You didn't get up on a ladder anywhere,
no,
did you?
No, no ladders for me.
None of that stuff?
I'm still nursing an ankle problem.
Okay.
But we normally we wait until early December. But yeah, we did it. Never done Thanksgiving weekend holiday decorations. We did that yesterday.
Bang. You don't have the like.
The
you don't have the humping reindeers out front.
Remember we do.
No, come on now.
Yeah. Reindeers are up. Some kid'll be Marnery or some adult. One of you people out there.
Yeah.
Where I live.
Goodness.
There you go. There's your.
I always enjoy to hear about these humping reindeers every Christmas.
Kids love that.
You don't put them up that way, right?
No, heck no. They just they're just there with lights on them. But, yeah, hope you had a great weekend with some ice-cold Bud Lights and not a great weekend for the Cowboys or the Aggies or the Sooners. Lost and lost their coach. At least the Longhorns got a victory.
Somebody said, I hope that OU doesn't land Dabo Swinney. Really? That scares me a little if that were to happen.
I don't know. We'll see. Big jobs at OU and LSU is still available. It's now official. The Minister of Culture at Texas, Matthew McConaughey, is not going to run for governor. Not running for governor. We know Greg Abbott's the governor. Beto O'Rourke is running.
so he has better things with his time to do.
Here's what Matthew said yesterday about his decision to not run for public office.
Listen, over the past 2 years, I've been working on the answer to the question of how I can be most useful in this life going forward. It never occurred to me that I would one day be considered for political leadership. It's a humbling and inspiring path to ponder. It is also a path that I'm choosing not to take at this moment. What am I going to do? I'm going to continue to work and invest the bounty I have by supporting entrepreneurs, businesses, and foundations that I believe are leaders. Establishments that I believe are creating pathways for people to succeed in life. Organizations that have a mission to serve and build trust while also generating prosperity. That's the American dream.
There you go. Minister of Calls for the MOC delivering his message. Not going to be on the ballot.
Good for him.
Good for him. That's a nice message. I like that. So there's some gossip. Also, I don't even know how to make of this story from the interwebs. So apparently on a Delta Airlines flight over the holiday, an airplane passenger on a Delta flight refused to stop breastfeeding her cat.
What?
A flight attendant. So here's what happened. There was a screenshot that went out that shows a Delta pilot sending a message to air traffic control that read, "We have a passenger refusing to stop breastfeeding her cat." I don't know if that was a mistype and he meant her kid or something.
Yes, science!
So that went viral. The flight attendant, though, a flight attendant on the flight on TikTok seemed to confirm the report. But
it
then,
was a cat?
Then she deactivated her account. So we'll get into that mystery as days go on in salacious gossip.
No cat tongues on planes or peanut butter. I got it now. I understand.
Can a human actually breastfeed a cat? Is
yes.
that possible?
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. If you have nipples.
Why is she lactating?
I don't know. Maybe she just had a kid in that
Where's the kid?
I don't know.
Are they sharing?
Jeez.
One for you, one for me?
We don't do that. We don't. No.
Let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Well, I'll say this. Anybody that's breastfeeding a cat, there's a good possibility she's got a 9-year-old kid in the bathroom. He's coming back next. All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Lincoln Riley, you're sorry as hell for not coaching us in a bowl game. But maybe Texas can win the Big 12 championship now. This is OU, Mark.
This is OU, Mark. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Lincoln. Are you going to coach LSU? That would be a no.
No, hell no. I'm out of here.
Oh, man. Did he spurn Oklahoma and LSU on the same day?
Wow. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Caleb Williams follows Riley to USC. Will he have to sit out a year?
No. 1 year. It's free agency, folks. There's one year. 1 year gift now is the rule.
Next Blitzer, talk to us.
What a weekend. All three programs that I despise got punked.
All three of them. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Sark's inability to timely address the situation is due to the fact that he can't properly assess the situation. That's the problem.
Well, we're going to find out because he's going to be able to assess it another year. I guarantee you that. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, B, E.
Yeah.
I think it's time to queue up some Sooner Tears, baby.
Sooner Tears.
Sooner Tears. Somebody's got to get that gig.
Bob, Big Game Bob's coming back.
Wow. If he wins the bowl game, he sticks around, I'm saying. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Kearney?
Be nice.
Hey. That lady's not the only one that can do a lot of things with cats.
Oh, my gosh.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yes.
Hey, Coach Dave, what happened to a half a Hyundai? Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, he stuck it in his you-know-what.
Boy, and he kept sticking it, too, man. Believe me, they didn't let up when it came to being physical. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
Good morning. Is this B&E?
Yes.
Hey, Xavier Worthy had 981 yards this year. So I just wonder how pissed off he is at his coach for not getting 1,000. Thanks, Bucky. This is Ricky Williams.
No. He didn't get his grand.
He didn't have a quarterback that could throw, really.
Yeah, Roshan would have had to throw it to him.
Yes.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Oh, by the way, E, my condolences for having to host a work party. Three things you need to know. Make sure your toilet's working and bring a lot of food because they eat like Trojans.
Next blitzer, you're up.
I think it's a small gathering.
The first drive is where your offense should have been all season long. Your second drive, you decide to have your four-finger quarterback throw a bomb. Yeah, properly assess the situation.
Properly. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, was that Jeff Banks' wife on the airplane?
Oh. Come on, man.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Well, it looks like my son is not transferring to USC because he might get in trouble. This is Spencer Rattler's dad.
Oh, no. Yeah, where's Spencer going? Oklahoma could be with it. Think about that. If Rattler portals and
yes.
Caleb Williams portals, they don't have a quarterback or a coach.
Wow. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Kevin Dunn flies Delta now? I thought he was a Southwest guy.
No, he just loves his kitties.
You guys are awful. Next blitzer, you're up.
Two more.
Yeah, this is the Irwin Center? Yeah. Hey, Royal Memorial Stadium. Way to pack them in on Friday.
Yeah, it was not crowded.
It's a little sparse there. People kept sending me pictures while I was at the high school game. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yeah.
I ain't blitzed in a while, man, and today's blitz is reminding me why. It's whack, just like the Longhorn seat. Buck.
Wow.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
Care of those rocks in the glass houses, y'all.
Well, you know, Longhorns haven't had many Mondays to gloat about things. They get at least a Monday. We won. They could say we won.
That's
Aggies,
right.
Poor Aggie.
Wow.
Sooner Tears.
Sooner Tears lost their coach.
But that doesn't mean you didn't have a terrible season, so you know, much to laugh
let's
about.
Let's grab some of their recruits.
But at least
now.
Laugh while you can. We'll be back. We'll assess the damage with Lincoln Riley. The recruiting class for Oklahoma appears to be falling apart, or parts of it. Texas taking some decommitments, and we'll hear more from Steve Sarkisian. And the good of college football from the weekend. Georgia's defense, Michigan's run game, Oklahoma State's defense. We'll get back into a great Saturday and weekend of college football. And how about North Carolina? Did Mack Brown let one get away? Holy moly. It's B&E on the Horn.